John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Thank y'all for allowing me to be here today. I was talking to Brother Tim on the way up here. And in the south, there used to be a place called Myrtle Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi, where most of the Southerners would go. And, that's gone today, where, most Southerners don't go there. But that's what this place is to me. I come up here every time, and God always moves, and God's always a blessing. There's not many places that I go in the United States of America that are like this place, where pastors really care for people and the people love one another. It said in the book of Acts, behold how they love one another. And there's some people in here that you can just see that they love one another. And it's a blessing to see God working in this place. I want to preach today on the subject, breaking the chains, breaking the chains. There are many people that feel that they just cannot be saved. Satan has lied and deceived people into believing that millions of reasons why they cannot be saved and why God would not want to save them. But you can be saved. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Well, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And that's the text that I'm going to preach from today. There's a devil that wants to trap you and a God that wants to make you free. The world wants to destroy you. I can remember when I was just a little boy, my dad was a preacher. What that means is most of the people in your family want to try to corrupt you. I can remember people in my family that would try to do things to me and try to do things to my brother to corrupt us. You know, things that I'd be ashamed of, and I'd cover my eyes. I'd be in their house. People in my own family would turn things on the television that I wasn't supposed to watch. I'd cover my face. And I can remember that. The world wants to trap you. The world wants to destroy you. The flesh wants to destroy you. We have a generation of people that most of the time they want to blame everything on the devil, when most of the time it's their fault. It's you that gets you in the mess that you're in. And then you do have Satan that wants to damn you. People are deceived. In our churches, especially in the United States of America and all over the world included, there's people that I know that I've preached messages to, and I know what sin that they're living in. I know I've preached to people that are living in adultery. I know people that are living in all kinds of immoral sins, drunkards, dope heads. I've preached to all of them, and I've preached it straight to them, and I've told them the truth, and still they refuse to see the light of God. They still refuse to see their own condition. They still refuse to see the fact that they are an adulterer. They still refuse to see the fact that they're a drunkard. They still refuse to see the fact that they're a dope head. Why? Because Satan desires to damn you and to destroy you. Satan wants to bind you in chains. And I'm going to preach on a few of these chains here in just a minute. But Satan wants to bind you in chains and destroy you and damn you to hell whenever you leave this world. There's a few chains that bind you. Sin, shame, sorrow, the sepulchre, and eternal separation from God. Sin, just like the children of Israel, they were in bondage in Egypt for all those years. And they were to be in bondage forever. These Egyptians didn't want them to leave. The Israelite people, they're in bondage for 400 years. And the Pharaoh, of course, he fought tooth and nail to keep Israel from ever going out and going into Canaan's land. While they were trapped in the world. Egypt has always been a type of the world. And the world wants to keep you in sin. Sin wants to leave you in bondage. I know people in my own family that I've talked to them. My dad's talked to them. And a person in particular, my dad's uncle, he's been a drug dealer all of his life. He still is today. He started it when he was in his 20s, and he's still a drug dealer today. He moved to Oklahoma years ago and had a man killed, believe it or not. And he came back to North Carolina with a truck full of drugs. And just his life has been given over to drugs all of his life. He's bound to it. And he don't want to let that thing go, that sin in his life, that adultery that he's committed for all these years. Sin has desired to bind him forever and ever. And there's some sins that there's people in this building that these sins have bound you and that you're holding on to them and you just can't let them go. Also, shame is another one. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that adultery is a reproach that'll never be taken away. I remember when I was in high school, there was a girl that I knew. She was one of my friends. She was a beautiful blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. And I can remember one day she defiled herself with a boy and everybody knew about it. And she came to school and everybody found out that she had a disease because she had slept with this boy. And I can remember this girl, she'd walk in the lunchroom, we had the same lunch, she'd walk in the lunchroom doors and everybody'd start clapping at her. Making fun of that little girl because of the disease that she had got because of sin. Shame! Sin! That's what the devil wants to do. I'm telling you today, what the devil wants to do to some of you boys is destroy your life and to make you live in shame. What the devil wants to do to some of you girls is to ruin your life and take your virtue away from you and to make you disgrace and have abortions perform and be in disgrace through life and have illegitimate children. That's what Satan wants to do to you. And there's the chains that bind you. Shame. Guilt. Shame. Sorrow. The Bible says that the man's days are few and full of trouble. Sorrows. The reason why my last name is Vernon, my grandpa's last name was Hal. And he lived in the mountains of North Carolina. And if y'all know anything about the mountains of North Carolina, back in those days, it was a bunch of moonshiners. And that's what the town that he lived in was just a bunch of moonshiners. So my grandpa, he was just a drunkard all of his life, running around with women. My grandma would come home and he'd be in bed with other women and she'd come home to that and he'd just drunk all the time. He'd beat my grandma. My grandma ended up leaving because she was tired of dealing with him, honestly. And my dad, he grew up and all of his life he said, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. My grandpa's just full of sorrows and he'd wake up after his drunkenness on Saturday morning and he would just sit in his bed and weep all day long because of his sin, because his life was destroyed, because the sorrows of his life. My dad said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that route. But in his 20s, through his teenage years and into his 20s, he went that same exact route. Drugs, drinking, violence, fighting, cussing, stealing, everything that you can think of. And can I tell you today that my life would still be full of sorrows. My life would be full of sorrows. My dad would have been a drunkard. My family was doomed and damned and because of sin had destroyed my family. But I'm glad one day there was a preacher that came by. Sorrows, the sepulchre desires to bind you. The grave is never satisfied, the Bible says. The grave will take the oldest and it'll take the youngest. The grave is never satisfied. And there's, believe it or not, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have to visit the grave. And you're going there unless Jesus comes. There was a boy that I went to high school with. He recently died because of cancer that he had in his body. And that cancer just took over his body and there was nothing that they could do about it. Just a teenage boy, had a bright future, had a scholarship to go to college, bright future ahead of him, was going to the University of North Carolina, and life gone. The sepulchre is never satisfied. You'll have to visit that grave one of these days. And then also, eternal separation from God is a chain that desires to bind you. The Bible says that one day God will cast those people that never received Christ. He'll allow God's angels to bind them hand and foot and cast them into the bottomless pit, which is the lake of fire. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And all the people that rejected Jesus Christ will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 16 that there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He said, Son, rememberest that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither would they come from you which would pass from thence. There's no way out.
Right.
Whenever you're bound in hell and when you're bound in the lake of fire, you'll be there forever and ever. When you go to the lake of fire, the Bible tells us that the angels, even the angels of God, that all their pride rebelled against God. They'll be cast down with chains of darkness. He said if God would do that to them, he'll do those to those that reject Jesus Christ. They'll be cast into darkness where they're bound in chains of darkness forever and ever and ever. The Bible says in the book of Romans, indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish. That anguish will be on you forever. And many of us remember the Twin Towers falling in New York when those towers fell. And those people that would jump out of the top of that building, they would jump out of that building because that fire was engulfing their body, and they thought that the only way that they could get any satisfaction is if they jumped out. And that's what many people are going to do. That's how many of y'all are today, even in your own souls. You're miserable, anguish, tribulation, indignation, and wrath. But when you die and go to hell, what they were doing is, the reason why they were jumping is because that fire was on them and that fire was burning them and there was no hope, there was no way out of it. And they thought that the best thing that they could do was just go and jump out of a building and kill themselves. Why? Because they felt like that fire would never end. They felt like there was no hope for them. That's exactly how you'll feel whenever you go to hell. Anguish, tribulation, anguish, sorrows. Like Saul in the Bible, he was the king of Israel, but one day he was out in battle and he was cut. And because the anguish in his body, he asked somebody to go ahead and kill him and finish him off. Why? Because that pain would never end. He thought that there was no hope. He thought that there was no way out. Why? Because the chains of eternal separation and anguish will bind you forever and ever and ever. If you die without God, but the chains can be loosened. What about Samson? Samson was bound. He was the strongest man, as far as the Bible says, that had ever lived. Strongest man. Had power, had might. He could take the gates of the city and carry them on his shoulder and march up a hill. Strong man. Strong man. But one day, he sinned against God and rebelled against God. And as a result of it, he had his hair cut off. He had the Nazarite vow, which stated that he had to have long hair. When he had his hair cut off, he lost the power of God on his life. So he was weak, and the enemies could take him and bind him, and he couldn't go nowhere. So Samson, he would grind at the enemy's mill all day long, bound to the enemy, bound to sin, bound to destruction, bound to misery, bound to a life of defeat. That's how Samson was, bound forever. But one day, God gave him that power back and he broke the chains. He broke out. Because God is a God that will give you a second chance. God is long-suffering and wants to set you free in spite of you and your sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 1 that these people that were turned to reprobates, that God gave them over to reprobate minds, there was four things that happened to them. There was four decisions that they had to make. And God would give them up to what they wanted. God would give them up to the lust of their own hearts. And then God would give them up to their vile affections. And then they wouldn't want to know God. So God gave them over to a reprobate. But after all the things that God did, after all the things, finally these people said, I don't want God, I don't want to know God, so God turned them to a reprobate. Well, let me tell you something that God did. God did everything that He could to keep those people from being reprobates. God did everything that He could to salvage those people's lives. God doesn't want anybody to be a reprobate. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And God will send long-suffering to you. What about Pharaoh? God did everything that He could to get Pharaoh's attention whenever the people of Israel were going to cross that Red Sea. God did everything that He could to get Pharaoh's attention. Still, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And after a while, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Let me tell you something. God was long-suffering. God showed him. God sent pestilence. God sent storms. God sent the water turned to blood. God sent plagues. God sent all kinds of things into that land to try to get his attention. The long-suffering of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the Bible says. What about the woman at the well one day? He said, your sins be forgiven thee. Go thy way and sin no more. That's what He told her. She was a woman bound with shame. Such a shameful woman that she would go to the well all by herself. People in the town wouldn't accept her. She was an adulterous woman, bound in shame. One day she met Jesus, and Jesus said, your sins be forgiven thee. This world may look down on you. This world may not forgive you, but there's a God in heaven that'll forgive you of all your sins. This world may look down on you. This world may laugh at you and say that you're crazy. But I'm glad that there's a God in heaven that'll forgive your sins and cleanse you and make you justified. He'll make you innocent. He'll make you clean. He'll make you holy. He'll make you righteous in the sight of God. Your sins will be gone. Your sins will be forgiven. All the shame and the guilt that you hold on the inside, Jesus can set you free from that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The woman with the issue of blood and her sorrows, she was bound to sorrow all of her life. And she had the issue of blood, and she went to every doctor that she could find. She went to every physician and said, do you have an answer for my problem? She was bound in sorrows all of her life, in her illnesses and her sorrows. But one day she met Jesus, and she said, Jesus, if I could just touch the hem of your garment, then I'd be made whole. And that lady touched the hem of his garment. Jesus said, I perceive that virtue left out of me. And he's asked, who touched me? But the throngs, the disciples said, but they're thronging you, Jesus. Jesus said, there's a lot of people thronging me, but there's not too many people that are touching me. That's what we need in this generation. There's a lot of people thronging Jesus. But what you need is Jesus to touch you. What you need is Jesus' power. What you need is Jesus' blessing. What you need is Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us that she was made whole from that very day. What about Abraham whenever he went to the mountain with Isaac to sacrifice him? So Isaac was laid upon that altar. And Abraham had that sword, and he was going to cut him to pieces and sacrifice him on that altar because God told him to. And whenever they got to the top of that mountain, Abraham put that sword back. The angel of the Lord said, you stop, Abraham, because there's a lamb over there in the thicket. And one day, we deserve the damnation. One day, we deserve to be killed. One day, we deserve the cross. One day, we deserve Jesus' punishment. But Jesus took our place, and He took our punishment, and He died, and He went to hell for us. He took our shame. He took the cross. He took our penalty for us. And now we can go free. Yes. May I say today that this world's sin may try to bind us. The shame of the world may try to bind us. The sorrow of the world may try to bind us. And the damnation of Satan may try to bind us. But I'm glad that we can be set free by the one, Jesus Christ. While we were bound to sin, there was one that could set us free. And I want to talk to you about number three, the Christ that breaks the chain. Jesus died, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. Yes. The Bible said Jesus died, and they put Him upon that cross, and the Bible said that Jesus looked up, and He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because that Godhead was plucked apart, And Jesus never addressed him as God. He always addressed him as the Father. But this time, God's own Son is addressing him as God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? I'm going to tell you why. It's because he became you. He became your sin. He became your sorrows. He became your shame. The Bible says that he despised the shame. Jesus was taken to the cross, never sinned, never done anything wrong, was completely innocent, was completely just in everything that he ever did. But he was stripped of his clothes and left up on the cross naked. He was beaten with gravel stone. He was beaten to the point that he looks like a lamb that was slain. And Jesus was separated from the Father, and he died, and his soul went to hell. But one day, Jesus, 3 days later, he took the keys of death and hell. He took the keys of hell, left up out by the might of his own power. He went to his grave, and he gently laid aside his grave clothes. He folded them up and walked out by the might of his own power. And the devil said, well, you just possumed on us. You just played dead. Jesus said, no, I am he who is dead, and now I'm alive, and I have the keys of death and hell. I am the resurrected Savior. I have the might to unloose the shame. I have the might to unloose your sin. I have the might to unloose all the guilt and the sorrows and the damnation that is upon your soul. Jesus has that power, and I'm glad for that today. Jesus conquered hell. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus has the keys. And you say, well, who can help me in this life? Who can help me with my sorrows? Who can help me with my shame? Who can help me with my sin? Who can help me with my hurt? If you would just get to Jesus, Jesus would make everything all right. Jesus has all power. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The devil may try to bind you. The world may try to bind you. The flesh may try to bind you. The sin may try to bind you. But may I say, Jesus has more power than sin. The Bible says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where your sin abounded, where your sin was great in your life, where your sin held you captive, where you were a servant to sin, grace did much more abound. And I'm glad for that today. I'm glad that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Jesus has power over everything. The Bible tells us that you can't destroy him. There's many, many people that try to do away with Christ, but you can't destroy him. If you try to destroy him by fire, he'll refuse to burn. If you try to destroy him with water, he'll walk on the water. If you try to destroy him with a strong wind, the tempest will lick his hands and lay down at his feet. If you try to destroy him with the law, you'll find no fault in him. If you try to destroy him with a seal of an empire, he'll break it. If you try to destroy him by rejection or ignoring him, you'll hear a still, small voice saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man would open up, I'd come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he has power over everything and everybody. One day Satan tried to take Jesus to the top of a mountain and say, Jesus, if you would bow down and worship me, that you could have all this land. But Satan should have known that Jesus owns the earth. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, its inhabitants, and everything that dwells in this earth is the Lord's. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, the Bible says. And Jesus has all power. What's your problems? What's your sins? What's your sorrow? What's your shame? What's your regrets? What's the problems in your life? Jesus has the power to loose those chains in your life. Jesus can do it. You say, well, Jesus just can't understand mine. Jesus just can't break mine. Jesus can break anybody's chains. One day there was a man named Barabbas, and Barabbas was the man that was guilty. Barabbas was a man that was a thief. Barabbas was a man that was a murderer, and he was in prison. And the day that they tried to crucify, the day that they were going to judge Jesus Christ, and he was there with Pilate and all those men, all those Gentiles, and all those people surrounding, all the throng saying, crucify Jesus, give us Barabbas. Barabbas was the one that deserved to die. Barabbas was the one that was on his way to death. Barabbas was the one that was going to be judged. But one day Jesus took his chains and loosened him and let them that man go. And all of his guilt, shame, and sin. One day, there was a man named Lazarus that was in the grave. He was already dead for 4 days. And the whole family said, if we could just get Jesus to come before he dies, and Jesus could heal him. And Jesus never came for 4 days. Jesus never showed up. Then finally Jesus showed up and made his way to his family, that man Lazarus' family's house. And Mary and Martha were there. And they said, Jesus has already been dead for 4 days. Or Lazarus has already been dead, Jesus, for 4 days. And he's already started to stink. There's no hope. There's no help. There's no way for that man to ever get help. But Jesus began to weep for old Lazarus. And he went to the grave and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And those grave clothes that bound him, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I'm glad that when the Hollywood world goes down to the graves, the Hollywood world says, well, he lived a good life. He partied it up. He smoked all the dope that he could. He drunk and was as filthy as he could possibly be. Man, he lived it up. The political world says, man, he had a lot of power. He sure did a whole lot of things, but this is it. He's dead. He's gone. He's dead. He's done away with. He's gone. When all the sports world comes by and sees the man, he says, well, he sure hit a couple home runs in his life. He sure could dribble a basketball and throw that football. Man, he was such a good athlete. But he's dead and gone. But I'm glad when God's people go by the grave and a saint of God is going to the grave, we can look at that person and say, well, it's just good night. And we'll see him in the morning. The grave has no more dominion over us. Death, where is thy sting? The grave is swallowed up in victory. And whenever we go by the grave one of these days and see our loved ones that are saved go on to be with the Lord, we'll look at them and say, it's just good night and I'll see you after a while. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad one of these days Jesus is going to break all the graves open and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says the graves, he can break anybody's chains. Break anybody's chains. One day my dad was preaching in a prison. I was just a little boy. And my dad was preaching in a prison in Florida, and there was a boy that raped and killed his grandmother. Never raised in church. Never went to a church service a day in his life. Wicked. Killed his mom. Prison the rest of his life. My dad began to go to that prison and preach and preach and preach. And he preached to that young man. And one day, tears running down his face, my dad went and sat beside him and said, what's wrong, man? He said, you just don't understand. God can't save me. I'm so wicked and vile. You wouldn't even believe how wicked and ungodly I am. God would never save a sinner like me. My dad said, there's a Jesus that'll forgive your sins, that'll cleanse you, and will make it just as if you'd never committed those sins in the eyes of Almighty God. That boy sat down on his knees and said, Lord, would you save me? I'm so sorry. I'm so vile. I'm so ungodly. Down on his knees, he got born again that day. My dad would still go to that prison and preach. And that boy stood by my dad one day and said, I'm in this prison. And I'm going to be in prison the rest of my life. But I'm the most free that I've ever been in my life. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that can take all your sin and your sorrows and your shame and your guilt and your hurt and your pain, and he places it on himself and sets you free forever and ever to be with him. I remember when I got under conviction, when God began to deal with my heart, I heard a preacher preach on a bird. He told me so. And it sounds like a strange message, but he began to preach on how the bird are just how they get to a point where they're just set free out there, and there's no more bondage and there's no more shame and there's no more guilt. And I didn't understand it all, but I was a 7-year-old boy and tears began to run down my face. And I said, I don't have that. My soul's not free. I'm bound in my sin. I'm going to destroy myself. But one day I got on my knees and Jesus Christ saved me, and he saved me, and I'm free, and I want to sing and shout about it. And I'm glad that I've been born again and I have liberty in my soul. I like that song, And Can It Be That I Should Gain? He said, long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Mine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flame alight. My chains fell off and my heart was free. He said, I rose and went forth and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? I'm glad that I could be set free. I'm glad that Jesus breaks the chains. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, I pray that this could be of some help, some blessing. There's somebody here, God, that needs to be saved. There's people here that need to be saved. And dear God, I pray that you could help them realize that there's a God that wants to save them and love them and shed the love of God abroad in their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let me get that clip off of here. Thank you, sir. Tell you what, we're going to sing a different song. We're going to sing, what is that, 107 in the book?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you ladies get ready. Miss Melinda, if you come up here, we're going to do that song. It's one of my wife's favorite songs of all time. She loves that particular verse. Now listen. Been here 6.5 years. I haven't given an altar call. I'm not giving one now. The folks heard what was said. It's really a matter of what you intend to do with it.
That's right.
I've learned this. Like he said, a lot of people thronging around Jesus Christ. But only one went to him with a desperate, desperate, desperate need to touch him for that need. I've got some people here struggling with this thing. Am I saved or am I not saved? Am I saved or am I not saved? Am I saved or not saved? The Lord said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I have people here, the reason you don't get saved is you still have stronger desires in your life than Jesus Christ. That's what the real problem is.
That's right.
Now I'm watching the Lord try to break down your life so you have no greater desire than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's opening your eyes to your sin and what it's doing to you and the misery of how it's destroying you. And he's opening your eyes to how there's no profit in it. Try and open your eyes to that. Make you see that. All the call I've always given this church is you carry what you heard. You let God deal with you. You know my phone number, you call this church, it rings to my cell phone. Deal with you anytime. You want to talk these things out, talk with you anytime. But really who you need to be talking to is Jesus Christ. Okay? When you read that Bible, many a person came to him and tried to talk to him, to reason with him. They all left empty hands.
That's right.
As far as I know, they're all in hell today.
That's right.
But there was never a broken sinner that ever came to him in the sorrow of their sin who left with anything other than being a child of God.
That's right.
Absolutely loved with that man, Jesus Christ. We've had a few in this church where God's broken and shown the deepness of their sin. They crawled to Jesus Christ and found new life. I think we got a few more that need that. Let's go ahead, ladies. If you would, let's sing that song.
Page 107.
Yeah.
What is that? Is she?
I think it's sitting on the cabinet.
Sitting on the cabinet? Okay, if we could take a table there and grab it. Brother Hank, if you could just grab one of those octagon tables and that jar's on the thing there. So when folks go by, if you would, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, or the young preacher. And yeah, it's nothing to be a preacher. My God, it seems like it's there.
Amen.
Right. Right. And so let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for this chance to be here. Pray that you bless Zach as he's preaching through the week. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now folks, those of you who can, serve a meal downstairs. If you can stay and eat with us, we'd love to have you do that. Zach will be here Wednesday night. He'll be here Thursday. Okay. Tuesday, Preacher's Fellowship. Anybody wants to come, 10:30, 11 o'clock, for preaching, we'd love to have you here for that. Okay. I know a lot of you ladies are here just to serve the meal. You always sneak up here to preach, and we'd like to. Okay. So, God bless. Thank you very much.
Later. Yeah.